All right, we're talking with Jerry Sobieski. He's involved with some open source GMPLS work. So I thought, first of all, most of our listeners maybe are not familiar with GMPLS. If you could say a little bit about what that is and what people are doing with it.
Yeah, GM, generalized multi-protocol label swapping. that's a mouthful. It came out of the industry ISPs, internet service providers, when they were doing their traffic engineering, so they could more effectively use their backbone capacity for their services. And it's evolved now so that the generalized MPLS allows us to do traffic engineering, but at more than just in the IP world. We can do it now at lower layers in the Ethernet, the Sonnet, fiber, wavelength kinds of services. And this is really kind of a new thing, because it basically allows the IP layer where it cut its teeth, where MPLS was. Now it's not just IP layer tunnels we're talking about. We're able to actually dynamically change the topology of the IP network. That's a capability that hadn't been around before. We can add capacity, we can drop capacity, we can reroute certain flows and data around errors or more expensive parts of the network. And so that is what GMPLS is about.
I mean, my understanding was that it's sort of a virtualization technology, that it lets you take one link and carve it up a lot of different ways.
Yeah, that's not inaccurate. That's what this idea of traffic engineering is all about. You have a link, and you have say it's a gigabit Ethernet. You can throw 1,000 megabits, and you'd like to take that bandwidth and allocate it in ways that allows you to ensure that the packets get through. All right, so it's done in conjunction with the boxes that are at either end of this thing, either end of this Ethernet. And so the way they do that is they put these labels on the front of every packet, and then each box in the network, each router or switch in the network, looks at that label and swaps it with another label on the outbound side. And they can keep count of the packets that they're swapping, the labels that they're swapping, and guarantee that certain labels get a certain number of swaps every second, right? They can forward a certain number of packets a second, or a certain amount of bandwidth a second for that label path. And so if you have a video stream, a video program or something that's going across the network, you can put all that video traffic in one label, and it'll be guaranteed its service at each point along the path. And so we euphemistically call these things as tunnels, MPLS tunnels, or more accurately, label switching paths, LSPs. So these paths are what the way you kind of subdivide the link up. And so you still only have a gigabit of Ethernet capacity, but now you split it up into 25 paths that support 20 megabit HD flows, right? High definition video flows, and maybe some other path for audio or video conferencing, right? Or somebody else has an FTP that they really want to run fast, so they get theirs. And then the rest of it's used for what we call the best effort traffic. That's the IP traffic that we see across the network now. Well, you can take that whole GMPLS model now, instead of putting those video flows in that IP core, you can activate another Ethernet and move all the video over there. Right? It's the same concept.
So do you think with technologies like IP telephony and video on demand and some of these things becoming more prevalent, that end users will start to see the benefits of this more, that they really, they're an end user is not going to run their telephone over their DSL unless it works all the time, and so they want their phone to work all the time, but their you know, they're just web browsing and file downloading and stuff like that is less important.
Yeah, there are some services that we've come to expect to be inviolable, if you will, right? You've always expected your phone, when you pick up your phone, to have a dial tone there, right? And if your landline phone acted the same way your cell phone was, you'd get really upset, right? You know, breaking up and getting dropped and stuff like that. Well, so that's the prospect we have with voice over IP. You can do that. And if you have a lot of capacity, a lot of unused capacity in your links, your DSL line or what have you, your cable modem, this will work fairly well. But when you aggregate those flows, it might only be, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 kilobits per second. You aggregate them back at Verizon's router hub, you may end up with 10,000 of those same flows. And you need to make sure that those flows are not being affected by other traffic on the network. And therein lies this whole idea of QoS, or being able to provide dedicated network resources. The work we're doing here with supercomputing is, it really addresses the lunatic fringe, the people that are out there on the edge that have not kilobit flows, not even megabit flows, but people the science applications that have gigabit flows. And those applications definitely need a different type of network than it's been out there in the IP world. They need resources that complement what we've had to date. And it's not unusual to see these technologies that we develop to address their needs. As they get stable and more robust, we'll see them filtering down into lower layer services as well. So that now we can probably expect to see things like cable channels on the network, right? So you really will have an integrated service interface in that, and your voice and your video and your games and your web traffic will all come in over the same line, and they'll have a different. They will be differentiated in how they're served by the network. It's necessary. I think it's going to happen. I think the user will see that soon.
So you're involved with an open source implementation of this. Where does it run? I mean, I can't run my own code on a big router somewhere. Is this for end nodes?
So what we're developed, these GMPLS protocols create these tunnels, these paths through the network. And each of the boxes along the path is called an LSR, a label swapping router, label switched router, right? These LSRs, we've taken open source software and extended it to conform to these GMPLS protocol standards, and we've termed this set of packages a virtual LSR, and we use that code to manage Ethernet switches in particular. We also use it to interface with, you know, dense wave division multiplexers and routers as well. But when on the high end, you're going to be managing, you know, very expensive optical and long haul network equipment. On the low end, it's open source. You can go out to the website and download it, right? You know, like Kazaa, right? And manage your own switch of own set of Ethernet switches in your house, right? Our lab consists of $800 Ethernet switches, right? You know, and $700 PCs running this software, right? So it's not an expensive proposition. The real question, though, is at that low end, is it really necessary? Probably not. But if you really want to learn how the big guys do these things, it's certainly a viable model to go out and play with it.
Certainly. So this is more management than like using a Linux box as a, or are you actually like using a Linux box as an LSR?
We actually use the Linux. We're essentially FreeBSD.
Okay.
we're a little partial that way. The FreeBSD box acts as the route processor. All right. So it handles all the protocols. And when those protocol events come through and say, well, we need to set up a dedicated gig Ethernet through this particular switch, the protocol box will just make a it issues commands to the Ethernet switch to set up the VLANs appropriately. Or it could also issue, and we also have it, it talks to SONET switches and fiber switches, and you know, so it's a broad set of components that it can control. But at the very basic level, you know, it just talks to an Ethernet switch and dedicates ports on that Ethernet switch to that particular application.
All right. Yeah.
How do you get involved with an open source development?
Excuse me?
How did you get involved in?
Oh, well, okay, so how did I get involved in this project? Well, the project we're working on is this thing called DRAGON, which is an acronym for a long thing, string of things I won't go into. But I've worked in this high-end networking area for a number of years. Actually came out of the supercomputing realm because we couldn't keep our big supercomputers fed. You know, they just needed better networks. So that's how I evolved into it. I've worked with Internet too and deploying high-end national and international backbones. Worked a lot with the carriers and such. So the project, the prospect came up to help develop this code, and we submitted a proposal to the National Science Foundation, and they thought this was promising enough prospect that they decided to fund it. So me and a dozen of my best friends are now, you know, writing code and building VLSRs.
All right, that's really cool. Anyway, thanks a lot, Jerry.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Jerry Sobieski, he's working on an open source implementation of GMPLS.